Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. This is indeed the broadcast for June 20th in the year of our Lord, 2017. News the networks refuse to use continues now, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Welcome to the broadcast. We do believe we can peacefully restore the republic once again. This nation shall endure, but it's going to be a tough road to hoe, and it's not going to be a peaceful process. Now, I say it's not going to be a peaceful process because I think the deep state, or the conspiracy, or the enemies of liberty, Satan's minions, whatever you want to call them, will not let it happen peacefully. But we're going to do our very best to make it as peaceful as possible, folks. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, my friend. First things first, you were able to listen to that whole interview with Joel Skousen last hour. Any commentary you want to add to the mix on that?
You know, it's Joel does such a good job to, I guess you could just say, bring adult supervision to, you know, this whole thing. I don't mean just us, but I'm just talking about, you know, overall, he's got so much experience and wisdom and the way he looks at things. And, you know, it's very good information.
I agree. I like that Joel stops a lot of the conspiracy theory stuff. He holds back. Yeah. He's careful in his research. Go ahead. But you're right about that, for sure.
That I rarely find any, you know, disagreements with. And so it's, I mean, it's good to have him, you know.
Amen to that. Now, I agree. He provides supervision on the whole conspiracy reality versus theory stuff. And he holds down his research very well. And but, you know, I don't think we'd go too far off the reservation. We're pretty careful like Joel is, you know.
Yeah, I didn't mean us. I was talking about, you know, basically the world, I guess you'd
say.
Yeah,
that's why it's called World Affairs Brief.
Yeah.
All right, by the way, yesterday we had on our buddy Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. We talked about Jay Sekulow, one of Trump's lawyers, didn't speak too eloquently on the Sunday shows. He kind of put his foot in his mouth, but he did point out the fact that Donald's not under investigation. And we also talked about the new study out saying that there is consensus that fatherhood is the most important duty in a man's life. 70%+ of Americans agree with that, says a Rasmussen poll. We talked about this Mercy Otis Warren, an incredible female American that you ought to learn about. She's a patriot founding mother, if you will. She was a mother, not a soldier. But the pen she wielded in support of liberty was greater than the sword in many ways, folks. Now, we talked about Lowell attended the special nominating convention held to select somebody to replace Jason Chapin. I think it's a sad tale to tell that he bailed early in an effort to get his guy in. That's what they do to manipulate elections. I don't like it. Nevertheless, Chris Herod scored the highest on Lowell's questions and therefore got Lowell's vote in every round. But now it's subject to this scenario where people can work their way on a ballot with gathering signatures and circumvent the vetting process that took place. So we'll see what happens in the primary. What, that's going to take place in August, I think. So we'll keep an eye on that ball, and that's the report from Lowell Nelson. We talked about transgender, quote, black girl, which is really a man. Track star with a mustache crushes female companions. Or female opponents, whatever you want to say, she would have been dead last, or he would have been dead last, had he competed in the men's arena where he belongs. The bottom line is everybody falling for the lie, including the girls that he's competing against, that, hey, he can just decide to be a woman today, and that's the facts. That's a lie. Don't fall for Satan's lie, folks. Stick with the God-given, time-tested, traditional reality of male and female. Created he them, meaning the author of liberty created us as male and female. Don't. Reject that reality, please. We talked about the war in Syria just escalated. U.S. shoots down one of Assad's fighter planes. We talked about that a little last hour with Joel Skousen. They're not ready for full-out war yet, but I'm telling you, the escalations of the war mentality and warlike people and military-industrial complex surrounding the Donald cannot be underestimated. We also talked about solar power will kill coal faster than most people think. especially with government funding at every turn. Globally speaking, that ought to happen. I would support these type of energies, but let's get government out of it and let the free market work, would you please? We also talked about congressional staffers literally booed Donald Trump at the, quote, Unity baseball game. The Washington Times reports, and I thought it was supposed to be a nonpartisan reality. So there you have that. When teams knelt and prayed, believe it or not, some were even mocking the prayers publicly. So someone literally gets shot, many people at a baseball game, or several people. It's a horrible tragedy, and literally, instead of turning to prayer like we used to do, now they mock the prayers. Folks, you see changes, culturally speaking, in America that are not good. And that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. It's still available at libertyroundtable.com. Should you choose to want to listen to that broadcast, it's available just for you. Then we had on Joel Skousen last hour. It's so complicated, I can't even drill into it. But suffice it to say that we've got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of work to do to restore the republic. But I commend Joel Skousen for doing a great job. Now, this Otto Warm Beer, Kurt. It's warm beer, not like alcohol, but B-I-E-R, warm beer. I don't know how you say it. Anyway, the poor guy's dead at 22. Recently released from 17 months internment in a North Korean camp. Got brought out. Now he's dead. Any comment on that, Kurt?
Well, you know, he as far as I understand, he went to North Korea and was trying to, I guess you could say, protest or whatever over there. He found that it's not that lovely of a place to participate.
And I don't know why he would think it would be.
Well, you know, it's, I mean, you got people who think that, hey, if they just go, you know, stand on a street corner, do whatever they want, they can just kind of, you know, hey, put it on Facebook and they'll be protected or something. And, you know, the fact is there are certain places where that stuff just doesn't, I guess you could say, get you protected or whatever. It gets you noticed and especially cared for, if you will, you know. And this guy, you know, is just part of that. I'm surprised he stayed alive. I mean, if you call it alive for all that time, you know. But the North Koreans don't really like
value
that
life.
Freedom idea. Well, you know,
yeah, we're not valuing life enough in America either. I'm sad that this guy died, and our heart goes out in sadness whenever anybody dies, especially at the prime of their life unnecessarily, or if they're babies and things. We got a whole pro-life effort to engage in here in America, and Donald's making moves towards that, and good on him for doing it. You know, that's good news. Hey, did you hear about the heat wave in the South, Kurt? They say it's going to be 120 degrees in Phoenix today. And they say it's even too hot for some planes to fly out of Phoenix. They're canceling flights now.
Yeah.
Did you read that?
Yeah, that's. Yeah, I did see that. I predict it's going to get a lot hotter, Sam, if we keep up on the, keep up on the air or the way we're going.
The pro-death policies, the anti-God policies, the, you know, perversions sexually and the conspiracies in government, the allowing, conspiracies to get above us and the deep state to grow and liberty to shrink and turning our backs on all things religious liberty-wise and et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's going to get worse for sure. The global warming folks might actually have a point on, Kurt.
Well, I think so.
You think God's warming up the planet?
But they're, well, he can certainly. There's been instances where he's warmed up the planet in a big way, or at least areas of necessity, if you will. And I'll tell you what, for example, the people in Vegas keep reporting that they have to keep going deeper for water. And I'm telling you, man, if they keep up what they've been doing and other people around the world, they're going to have to really go deep for water.
Don't worry. They say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So if they've got water in Vegas, it'll stay there. They're okay.
That's a lie.
Well, in terms of the water, is it a lie?
Well, I'm just
there's water in Vegas. The question is, will God let him access it?
Yeah.
And if you obey his commandments, you're blessed, and you'll have access to water. And if you disobey God, then God's water might not be available to you there, buddy. That's how it is.
Yep, that's a great point.
All right. I'm not even sure why you'd build these huge communities out in the middle of the desert where it's hotter than all get out in the first place. Without criminal and perversion money, at least in Vegas' case, it wouldn't even be there.
Great point.
All right. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live. Sam, Kurt. You probably ought to not buy a house, by the way. We'll tell you about it in seconds on your radio. The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
There's a new study out. You shouldn't buy a house, they say. Who paid for this sucker, Kurt?
Well, I don't know exactly, but I know that, when you look at the whole thing, I figured it would be a good thing for us to talk about and see what your thoughts are. On the whole housing industry, if you will, or the housing situation, you've seen it as a former mortgage, what do they call you, Sam, or mortgage broker? You've participated in all this kind of stuff. And in a big way, and you're seeing now more and more of these, I guess you could call it the bubble kind of coming along, with more and more people buying homes with nothing down or whatever. Does it look like we're headed for the same kind of, I guess you could say, disaster as we
had years ago? They are ratcheting up interest rates, which makes it harder to buy a home. And because the government has basically literally manipulated loans for so long, prices are just skyrocketing. In other words, Kurt, if everybody can get money, then the price of homes skyrocket. And it used to be where people would basically save and scrimp and work hard and then build a little home with the money they could gather. Family members would help. They'd build the home as inexpensively as they could. They'd do almost like a barn raising for folks. People would start out with, a home, and they'd be grateful for it. And they might upgrade if they do very well, but it might be a home for life, etc. we've created all kinds of, in my opinion, moral hazard in the housing industry by government involvement in homes. What happens is government makes available money to anybody, which means anybody can buy a home. You don't even have to really work that hard to do it these days. And therefore, since everybody can get money, we've messed up the supply because the demand is so great that you can literally raise prices. We then had government regulation get in the mix to where you and I can't really build a home anymore, Kurt. We got to have somebody else build it for us because there's so many, you know, international regulations and codes and specifications and permits. And I mean, I can't even put an add-on. I can't even turn my garage into a living room, for example, or a family room without getting a permit, without having it. Basically, I got to literally go get it engineered, and I got to this and I got to that, and I got to be a certain distance from my property line, and I got to, you know, do all these things just to make it possible. And so, you know what? The average person can't really build anymore. And they certainly can't build at an inexpensive cost because it just goes through the roof. Literally. And so we've created this moral hazard by injecting a bunch of money, upsetting supply and demand. We've then made it possible for so many people to have money that it just simply puts things out of balance. And what we've done is we've created this whole industry of regulation and government involvement to the point where, you know what, home prices are just through the roof. And it's not going to get better anytime soon. People try to create small houses, tiny houses, as a way to solve it. And then they're like, well, no, covenants and regulations say that you can't put a tiny house here. By the way, your tiny house is not really a house. It's a portable dwelling. And so there's rules and guidelines about portable dwellings. And we go on and on and on to the point where, yeah, it's harder for every generation to buy a home. It's more expensive. It's more regulated. It's more manipulated. But yet government continues to literally grease the wheels for people to get in debt. And so it becomes easier to buy a home. And while it's harder to really own a home and be debt-free, it's easier to own a home with a massive debt attached to it. And so through this moral hazard they've created, in my humble opinion, it's going to get worse. And it's to the point now where in this report they say you ought to rent a home, probably not buy a home. And they proceed to kind of break down the cities that are better to rent in or whatever you want to say. And when they go down this whole scenario, but I'm not sure renting's any better, Kurt. Once people get wind that it's harder and harder to buy a home, they'll just simply increase rents. So again, and then there's all kinds of rental guidelines. I got to pay the city in many cases to have a rental property and pay a city tax just to rent out my property. And there's guidelines. If I create a basement apartment that I got to register it with the government to even rent it out. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And there will be no relief until we get regulation and government money out of the mix, Kurt. It's that simple of a discussion.
Well, I agree, Sam. And, you know, I was looking at a kind of a related story. It says the 25 best affordable places to live in the U.S. in 2017. And then the subheadline, I get this part, this is in realestate.usnews.com, you know, it says, which metro areas allow your paycheck to go further when it comes to housing costs? There is a problem with this story, at least in my opinion, and that is they're only including your metro areas, basically, you know. In other words, you know, the big city areas where what we found, you know, in our, I guess you could say, time on the planet is, hey, you need to be out in the country to find a bargain, typically.
The problem is it's hard to make a living out in the country.
Living. Yeah, good point. But at least with a number of the new ways of connecting and that kind of thing, and, you know, and your FedEx and, you know, UPS, et cetera, coming to your door wherever you are almost, you know, that's changing more and more, isn't it?
I think it's changing. And I think it'll continue to change, but it's still about impossible to make a living in some of these places, even if you have the internet. Just because you need to get to stores to buy things, you need to travel to do things. A lot of people have to have meetings, and yeah, there's web meetings that are making a difference. And I'm not saying you can't live some of these places, but there's not near as good of internet in some of these places either. And so it's very tough. And then what they want to do is have government subsidize the internet to get to these places to make them more viable. And, you know, the problem with this whole scenario is every time government gets involved, and I'm telling you, I'm for solar and wind. But when government's involved, I question what'll happen. Same thing with housing. I would love to buy a piece of land, Kurt, move out in the country, develop a small subdivision, but it would be a more of a rural subdivision. In other words, people would actually have some ground, not live on postage stamp size lots, and build a subdivision, build a little city. But Kurt, do you realize how expensive that would be to even get done? If I could even find the land to make it happen? I mean, the cost and the regulation and the rules to do these things are just so outlandish that I don't even know how possible it is. Right? And so that's kind of the problem that we face. I'd love to live out in the country and just find a place, build a little rural subdivision of my own where we'd have lax covenants and people could own animals and it would be spread out. That'd be like, you know, maybe 2-acre parcels or something, or acre parcels where people could have a little bit of land, but, you know, not massive ranches, but yet, you know, and do it and put people on septic tanks so you don't have a sewer bill from your city and live in the county and have solar and possibly wind and things like that, energy. I mean, I would love to build a little nuclear power plant to run my little city too. And you could literally have a small co-op where people did it and it would be a private entity. And I mean, you could do so many awesome things, but Kurt, you're regulated to where you'll never get it done. I mean, they even have the joke these days about, hey, if Noah were, you know, happening today, he'd never get the ark built. Because there's just so much complication and red tape to where it's just a tough road to hoe. And so anyway, they say don't put your money into a house. Says a new report, renting may be a better option than buying. I'm not so sure that renting's better than buying because, again, once people figure out that renting's so much of a better deal, there'll be too much demand there once people quit buying too. But they've created this moral hazard, and it's not going to get any better. I mean, really, do you think Noah could build the ark today, Kurt? Where would he live that he could just literally start building a huge, massive boat, you know? I mean, he'd never get that done, buddy. They'd have the EPA and the who knows who would be down near the animal, whatever, and the this and the that. And the, you know, he'd never, I mean, I don't even know if he'd even be able to, you know, you got that country song, if, you know, that money isn't important, some say. But if I had enough, I could buy me a boat. Now I can buy me a truck to pull it. All right. Well, that's kind of what we're talking about here is I don't know how you could even build a boat. Would you be allowed to build a boat in your yard, Kurt?
You know, from what I've seen, you certainly don't want to ask your bureaucrat if that's possible.
Yeah, but if you don't, Kurt, they'll just simply lock you down and take your house once your neighbor rats on you.
And you've got to go to, you know, definitely not your metro areas for doing this kind of thing. And you know, the more you find, I guess you could say, the out in the country kind of areas, you know, you might want to be kind of close, but the closer you are to those metro areas, the more bureaucrats are going to surround you, if you will. And
If you live too far out in the boonies, they'll call you an isolationist and they'll send the Randy Weaverites after you. Come and take you down with those folks. You know, what do? Where do you go? And, you know, I don't mean to, you know, make this so difficult, but for example, where could you and I move that could decrease the costs, Kurt? Any idea where
that is a
go?
Good question, Sam. You know, I've often thought about moving to Second Nephi, but then you've got
there's no such
you
thing.
Know, so many other. Yeah, that's the new
and
name
you can't
of your
build
town.
It. That's what I'm talking about. All right, Liberty Roundtable Live, Sam and Kurt on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. You know, for a long time, we prided ourselves in our agricultural expertise, but other countries are doing right well. Foremost on that list is Israel. Now, Kenya is asking Israel to help out. The drought has been so bad in Kenya, that country has had to import food. Now, there's a pilot agricultural project run by an Israeli company, and what do you know, it's working. It's being funded by the Kenyan government. The project collected about 93,000 bags of corn from 2,500 acres. The Secretary of State has said, quote, "We've been evaluating whether we should put some type of travel visa restrictions to North Korea in place, but we've not come up with a final conclusion." The Secretary of State said that in light of the treatment of that young student released by North Korea, but before the young man died. Since 2000, there have been 15 known cases of Americans detained in North Korea. One school of thought thinks the U.S. government should have very limited options in this. The concern is other Americans still north of the border. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. If you want a win-win opportunity for patriots, we present a solution. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. When it comes to books, videos, health food, and natural products, please do business with the good guys today. Phone in orders available by calling 877-817-9829 or purchase online at thepowermall.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, bottom line, Sam McCurt on your radio talking about news the networks refuse to use. A new report out, you should rent, not buy a house. The economy is just going against you with interest rates and the expensive costs of homes, et cetera. I broke down last segment, in my opinion, the reason for the moral hazard and the problems and inherently the solutions to resolve such. But we were talking about right before the pause, hey, where could we move? Where could it be inexpensive? Where could we literally, Kurt wants to move to a city that doesn't exist. That's probably a non-starter, my friend.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, so many of these things didn't exist before.
So you're saying you could build the city.
I'm
not against the idea, but I'd like to see how that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's very true. It would require, some additional expertise. And then the problem is that I'm not even sure if we could get it done that I'd really be able to go there, because I got to include things in this my decision, including things like, hey, what my wife wants, where my grandchildren are.
Well, that means you're not going anywhere then. You're just going to stay in the big metropolis. That's the end of your discussion, my friend.
Yeah, well, anyway, and you are in the same boat, right?
I don't know about that. I got a different plan than you. I don't want to try to build a city because I know it's too regulated and not possible, so I've given up on that idea.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
So since I'm not building a city, I can move a lot more places than you can. And what I might try to do is I might try to say I'm not going to try to live there full time, but I might try to find myself a piece of property out in the country and build me a little cabin or build me kind of a second home that would be more of recreational in nature and see if I can't get my family to work on preparedness and go out there for recreation and fun and weekends and, if they like it, well, and if they might consider more of a full-time reality there, but they got to start somewhere, and I could start inexpensively. I might even buy a piece of ground and turn it into a nice campsite and have my own campsite. First, if I could find a rural enough place without the regulations, and then eventually my campsite could get a little bit nicer. I could create some kind of some kind of a clubhouse or some kind of a big room with a bathroom and a kitchen and things, and that way, when you come and camp, you could still go inside and watch movies or you could prepare food inside, but yet people could still stay outside. And then if you surrounded that clubhouse with some small cabins, and pretty soon you got this awesome recreational facility that people like to go to. And if you put it up not too far from a lake or something like that, you might And, you know, that's the only way you're going to get people interested in that these days, Kurt. They have different goals than you and I do today. But I think you can interest people in survival and in preparedness and in recreation and in fun. And so my plan is to live where I'm living, but add this kind of second thing that I could spin up a little bit at a time over time and not go into too much debt for. And so I got kind of a different plan that I'm working on, you know?
There you go.
Yeah, and what do you think of that idea? Think that'll work?
I think it'll work whenever you want to do it.
I've been searching for ground right now. I'm looking in southeast Idaho is where I'm looking, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking from, you know, north of the Idaho border, east of I-15, if you will, and west of the Wyoming border, and anywhere south of, Rexburg, or maybe, what's that really expensive place people like to go
Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
No, it's in Idaho. I'll try to think of it. Anyway, it's up there. Island Park. South of Island Park, north of the Utah border, east of I-15, and west of the Wyoming border. And in that kind of a general range is where I'm looking. And, you know, Mount Pilyer and up near Bear Lake area, north of the lake there. You don't have to live too close to the lake. You could be up in the mountains somewhere where it's pretty rural. It's pretty inexpensive there. If you could find the right kind of property that you might get away with not so many regulations if you lived out somewhere. And you might find an old subdivision or something if you wanted something simpler that was already created for this purpose and nobody finished that you could take over and finish. You might find just a piece of property yourself. You might find several pieces that are inexpensive that are for sale by owner. And or owner financed. I mean, there's a lot of options, and I'm working on it. It's not a dream. It's literally, progressing, if you will. Then I got to have good internet there so I can broadcast live on the broadcast from the remote location, though, Kurt, right?
Right, and you get a lot of that out in the country.
Yeah,
for sure.
All right, so Donald Trump is in the ratings. Reality, and I don't know if it's going worse or better. It depends on who you ask, huh, Kurt? There's two ratings polls out that are fascinating and vastly different, and none of them are very positive, but they're more positive than the mainstream press might want you to believe as well.
Well, that was interesting to me when, you know, you took a one-day peek at the reports, and one of them, you know, an AP report says Trump disapproval hits 64%. So if you see that, Max Greenwood writes that, you know. So let's see, that would be, 36%
approval, everybody hates the
Donald, I guess.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's the inference from the piece, though.
Well, yeah. And then the other piece, right, I mean, same snapshot day, if you will, basically, it was a Rasmussen report. The AP didn't really give a lot of details on where they really got their info. And at least in my opinion, I would tie the AP a lot more to what's called the deep state or the kingmen, if you will, than I would, you know, the other report. Anyway, the Rasmussen report, it showed a 50% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Trump's job performance, 50% disapprove. And they say it's the first time the president's overall approval rating has hit the 50% mark since late April. And one thing I wanted to bring up about this, Sam, is, you know, as you've taught us for years, he who owns the media makes the rules. These guys could make, if they wanted to, they could make President Trump like the highest rated guy ever. But on the other hand, if they want to, they can bring him to the depths.
You're right about that. And in my opinion, they're intentionally making his numbers tank. And then they're reporting on that.
Right? That's a great point. And then they hope that, you know, I mean, so many people, I mean, it's like the whole deal of voting day. You want to go vote so you can get that little sticker on your shirt, you know. Oh, I'm cool because I'm like everybody else, you know. So many people want to do that. And so they look and say, well, what are the numbers show? Well, I guess everybody else doesn't like him. So if I don't, then, hey, I'm with them. And that means I'm cool, you know. But you know, don't be a lemming, ladies and gentlemen, you know. And of course, typically our listeners are not going to fall in there. You know, listen and learn the right stuff and look for the right, you know, the truth. It'll make you free.
Well, what I find fascinating about this whole scenario, Kurt, is that another poll from Rasmussen is drastically different, right?
That's exactly right, you know.
So what does that all mean?
Well, it's part of that whole, what do we call it, fake news or, you know, whatever you want to say. And it all depends on how you ask the questions and who you ask and who's doing the numbers. I don't know if I told you, but recently, I think it was while I was at, you know, out of town maybe, or anyway, it was in the last little while, I got called by one of these pollsters, you know. Have you had
you never
a pollster
get called
call
by
you?
Pollsters. Yeah, I've called them, but then I tell them who I am, and they say, you don't qualify
to
take the poll.
Like in my case, it was a Quinnipiac. You know, you've seen those reports every so often, and this lady calls from there, and I'm pretty sure it was when we were up at Bear Lake, but the, you know, she had a multiple group of questions. It was like 15 or 20 minutes, that kind of thing. And I thought, well, you know, the average person's just not going to do this. And so when they report the numbers, you know, you're not really going to include the average people.
Well, let me stop you there. The conservatives will do it, Kurt, because they put their money and their time and their efforts where their mouth is. Conservatives will say, if there's nothing in it for me, I don't have time, and they'll bail.
Oh, good point.
With rare exceptions like, you know, a Kurt Crosby or something. Right?
Yeah, I was just amazed. And what they were doing was they were asking all these questions like, what about the Russian thing? Does that make you less likely to like President Trump or, you know, more? And then, you know, how do you feel about this or how do you feel about that? And, you know, in the end, I, you know, suggested that they get back to us. And, you know, we would like to have a guest on from their organization about, you know, this scientific method of polling and stuff like that. But so
scientific
many times,
method, have you lost your mind?
Well, I know I put that in parentheses, okay, or in quote marks, but they basically want to lead the witness, in my opinion, so many times. That's what they're doing.
Amen to that. But there you have it, though. And even the worst of the polls or the best of the polls, whatever way you want to look at it, only say 50% Trump from the Donald. So, you know, they say Donald's not doing very well. And you know what, Kurt? I can see why, because I want to know what he's accomplished. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so all I'm telling you is it's hard for me to know what the Donald's done that's good. He's tried to do a lot of things. He's made efforts. There are some things we can point to, but 90% of what we can point to is yet to be seen. I'll take an example. Neil Gorsuch, awesome win for the conservatives and pro-life on the Supreme Court. But hey, it's still yet to be seen what Neil will do, Kurt. We don't really know yet. He hasn't done anything that's like save the lives of millions of babies that are dying all the time or anything. So, I mean, I appreciate that that's a potential positive. Getting rid of the Mexico deal where we don't fund abortion around the world, that's good. So I'm not saying there's no good, but I don't really see a whole lot of promises kept or good done, really. Not yet, anyway, and I don't know if we'll ever see it, Kurt. What's your take? Do you think that there's a lot of good done? I mean, you know, we see a lot of idea, oh, he's going to get rid of the, climate change accord or whatever, but that's not supposed to happen until 2018 or 2020 or somewhere. You know, he's talking about building the wall, but hey, they're not really building that. They got to wait for government funding from Congress. Good luck with that. Tax reform, health care, locking Hillary up. I mean, let's just keep going with the promises. And I'm not sure that there's been a whole lot realized, Kurt.
You know, the one thing that I continue to fall back on because, I personally believe that there's a much more constitutionally based leadership, but I will say that I can say this, that if you look at what Americans were given the choice, and when I say given, I'm talking about the way the media typically does it, you know, they give you, hey, Republican, Democrat. That's pretty much it, that they just tell you, here's your choices. And most Americans pretty much fall for that. And in that case, all I can say is, you know, I'm sure grateful we got Trump instead of Hillary. And personally, I've watched, and at least I believe, after being in Washington, D.C., and, you know, our own, I guess you could say, exploration of the area and whatever you want to call it, being there, I'm amazed that he gets done and has gotten done what he's accomplished anyway, with those around him, and it's truly amazing to me that, if you would have asked me, hey, how long would he survive, without being, basically taken out, if you will. They're working really hard to take him out, to make him just go away, either one way or the other. They trying to find enough crazy people to maybe go try to shoot him, and then or they're trying to find enough, you know, media guys to take him out so they'll just say, hey, I've had enough of this. He's still hanging in there. And all I can say is that in our lifetimes, it's hard to find a better, I guess you could say, more hopeful opportunity than what we're seeing here now. But we certainly would like a whole lot more of, you know, what we talked about, what we supported, you know, that kind of thing.
And let's be very clear, we're not here to attack the Donald, but we are here to say I don't know that he's getting a whole lot done. And I would, if I were to blame one body, I would blame the House of Representatives, Kurt. They could literally deliver on a lot of Donald's agenda by controlling the budget, by standing together as conservatives.
Well, you're exactly right. And you, if they really do control the money, which is according to the Constitution, the way it's supposed to be, they've got that power. And yet they're typically just a bunch of wimps, and they're led by, you know, one of the greatest kingmen we've seen of our time, I think, Paul Ryan. And so I mean, it's just, you need to watch the old movie, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and understand that if it was that bad then, it's probably a lot worse now.
You know, you don't think it's gotten better, Kurt?
No, I don't. But I am hopeful that, you know, good people can do good things. And, you know, it sure is. I'm appreciative of any of those efforts, you know, like in the last week, at least we found out where Trump said, hey, we're not going to keep doing this Y2K thing, you know, 17 years later. You know, I mean, maybe Obama could have, you know, even worked on that. I mean, it seemed like a smart thing to do to say, we don't need to keep doing that after, you know, 17 years in the process, right?
Well, that depends on what you mean by smart.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, there's less jobs now, Kurt.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and more government, you know, clients, if you will, you know. But there are folks that are trying to change that picture, you know, and, you know, when you look at some of the latest things, you know, like, for example, Bill O'Reilly, he's taking a page out of your playbook, Sam, where he says, I'm starting my own operation.
Think he's a Liberty Roundtable listener?
I don't know, Sam.
Because he hasn't been on that, you know.
I do know that, according to WorldNet Daily, he's just, you know, on his own thing. He's, you know, like, hey, I'm going to do at BillO'Reilly.com. He's going to do a half-hour newscast. We're going to go into a studio, and here it will look like The Factor. It's basically an experiment to see how many people are going to want this service. You know, so he's looking like, you know, it'll be a thing where they pay to watch or whatever. Going to compete directly with Fox News.
Bill O'Reilly, I'm starting my own operation. See, why didn't he just come to Liberty Roundtable or Liberty News Radio and join up, man?
Yep, I agree. But, you know, it's at least he's learned that if he wants to control his own, I guess you could say, content, he better own the apparatus, right, Sam?
Yes, I agree with your point, but I guess I'm just saying, you know what, when Glenn Beck has his own, and I just kind of think, why not have a few of us start to team up with what's already been done? It's kind of like the criticism I had at Ron Paul back in the day. You know, Ron Paul tried to create his own news organization and his own radio network and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know what, there's already guys out here that have done this, Ron. Just join join what we're doing here and help us. And what you get is these new operations just get launched and the old operations just start to not get the support they need. And before you know it, hey, you know, it makes me wonder if I had to keep doing it. You know, hey, if you got Bill O'Reilly cranking up his own thing and Glenn Beck cranking up his own thing and Ron Paul cranking up their own thing and everybody and their dog doing what's already been done and just, dividing it all up even greater or whatever. At some point you kind of wonder, hey, maybe we ought to just let everybody rely on those, Kurt. Right?
Well, it does give you a pause, you know, but, you know, the new media, as you've said for so many years, Sam, the new media has taken center stage. You know, we've watched in our lifetime, or at least our media lifetime, you know, where we've seen the big changes. And you know, it's hard to say exactly what to do. You know, do we retreat, just get a, you know, Sam Bushman compound and, you know, and wait for the beloved end? Or do we, you know, continue to do what we feel led to do? And even with, you know, the, I guess you could say, this support that we get, that we wish we had more, you know, and that's probably the, I guess you could say, the role to take, you know. It's just, it would be nice to do a better job, but we do what we can, right?
Yeah, and in my opinion, you never give up, first of all, so you don't completely back away. But what you do sometimes is rethink how you go about it. For example, we used to own a radio station, and we sold that radio station, and we jumped into the radio network on a national scale, for instance. And I think that got us out of from under a lot of regulation, Kurt. We had a lot more regulation when we owned a government-approved, licensed, whatever you want to say, controlled radio station with a small footprint. And we've changed it for less regulation and a much bigger footprint. And so I don't think we give up ever. That's not the point. The point is, hey, maybe we back away from some of the things we're doing. Maybe we do other things. Maybe we look at it differently as the markets change. You know, you kind of wonder if we ought to do it different. For example, do we need live radio 24/7 like we had before? Or is it better just to put up a bunch of shows and they start whenever you want to listen, Kurt? Is it better to join a radio station or network in progress and listen just based on your time and availability? Or is it better to get a list of shows and just start the show whenever you want to listen? In other words, podcasting and on-demand opportunities are replacing the traditional radio station. Is it better to do that? And so it's not an idea that we would give up, but it is an idea. Maybe we rethink how we're going about things for sure. Are people willing to read short news articles more now than listen to long programs? Maybe people aren't willing to listen to 2 and 3 hour radio talk shows anymore. Maybe you need to make it an hour long, or maybe you need to make it bursts of short updates, kind of more short form style. You know, there's a lot of things to think about. For example, and what are people willing to listen to and pay attention to and focus on? And how do you retool what you're doing in a way that you know, brings greater viewership, readership, listenership, whatever you want to call it, to the table? How do you engage in today's audience? It's different than yesteryear audience and things like that. And so I don't think that you give up by any means, but I do think you rethink how you go about it. And I do think you always think outside the box and always come to the table with new ideas. It's always valuable to be innovative. It's always valuable to be forward thinking. It's always important to always keep on this. And it's a dollar versus, you know, how much you've got discussion. But it's also finding out where the people are. What are the solutions? What are the options? What do you focus on? How do you get the most bang for your buck, if you will? And I think good, honest, wise people always think that way when it comes to, in my opinion, sacred money dedicated by the few to the great cause we're engaged in. And I thank those few who put their money where their mouth is and who believe in this sacred cause and know that we'll be great stewards of and use funds to the best of our ability, without a doubt. And we got to always rethink that and always refocus on that. The new media is taking center stage, but is the new media changing? I think that it is. And I think we need to change right along with it to be successful. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. Get involved. LibertyNewsRadio.com. We declare this nation shall endure.